Good morning, and welcome to Vantage Point, the broadcast ministry of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. This is Reggie Lawrence, the pastor of St. Mark's, and I'm welcoming you to the Friday morning edition of Vantage Point. We're studying in the Epistle of James, James's letter to the church at large, and actually addressed to the 12 dispersed tribes of Israel. But we know that this letter is of great importance to everyone who is a part of the church, even unto the present day. Today we're going to look at James chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, and see how far we can get in the time that is before us. I'll be reading from the New King James. You follow along behind in at home. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That's quite a lot in that verse alone, and we'll stop right there and consider what James is telling us in this verse 21 of chapter 1. James begins with our personal duty. We all, as Christians, have a personal duty, and attending to our personal duty is important if we are to mature as Christians. A mature Christian attends to his or her personal duty as a Christian. Our personal duty is to clean up our act. We have to attend to our conduct. We have to attend to our thinking. We have to attend to our example. So therefore, he says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. This is akin to a passage we find in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, wherein he tells us to cease to do evil and to learn to do good. That is a responsibility of every believer, that we ought to take responsibility for our conduct, for our actions, for our beliefs, and our example, because we are to be an influence in the world, and beyond that, to be a positive influence in the world. Jesus called us the light of the world. We should bear a light into the darkness that we find around us, and we begin to do that when we lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. God is merciful. But God is nobody's fool. David prayed to our Heavenly Father, keep me from presumptuous sins. Now, presumptuous sins are those sins we would commit presuming that God will forgive us after we have sinned. So we look forward to a life in which we sin, but presume upon the mercy of God and the goodness of God, that he will forgive us after we sin. And God, David quite appropriately prayed, Lord, please keep me from presumptuous sins. A presumptuous sin is a special insult to the character of God. We also remember that we will have to give an account for what we do and say in the world. So we must deal with sin and error in our personal lives. We have the responsibility of dealing with sin and error in our personal conduct. We also have to be mindful of the fact that sin and error in our lives sets a bad example for others. So we have to deal with sin and error in our lives because we want to set a good example in the world and not a bad example. Then, while you're at it, stop making a mess in your world. he goes on and talks about the overflow of wickedness. That is a powerful image, that the wickedness, the inclination towards sin, which may be in our hearts, may have an overflow, may have a splash-out effect on others. We all have to live here together. You are not alone in the world, and therefore we have to stop making a mess, because we may find out that somebody else has to live in the mess we make, or have to clean up the mess that we make. We certainly don't want to clean up the mess that others make. So we have to, as he says very succinctly, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Your bad intentions, your laziness, selfishness, dishonesty, greed can all overflow onto others and have a negative effect on others. So we have to stop the overflow of these things. And we're all subject to that. We're all subject to bouts of laziness or selfishness or dishonest motivation or greed. We have to bring these under control. We have to discipline ourselves to stay beyond them, and therefore avoid the overflow of wickedness into our environment, on our families, our friends, community, and into our world. And he goes on in that verse to talk about receiving the King James calls it the engrafted word. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word. He says, then receive. To receive anything, we have to be open to that thing. You have to be open to enable you to take in what you do not have. I have in my mind the image of a mailbox. And if the mailbox is stuffed full of mail, it's impossible to receive any more mail. If our concept of what God has for us is already full, and we feel like we can't take in any more, we know everything that we need to know, then we can't receive anything from God. We have to be willing to be open to receive more. God is a God of more, and our mailbox cannot be full. We have to empty the mailbox, put what we know to use, and then we are in a position to receive more from God. If the mailbox is full, how can you receive anything? We have to be open to the things of God. We have to be open to the Word of God. The Word of God is rich. The Scripture tells us the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. That is what we believe. For reproof. That is finding out what's an error in our lives, or what's good and what's not working in our lives. For correction, that's correcting the errors, putting us on the right path or back on the right path. And instruction in all righteousness. That is the scope of the power of the Word of God in the life of the believer. We have to be open to the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful in that way, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in all righteousness. Our openness must be characterized by personal meekness. He says, receive with meekness. This personal meekness or humility. You know, some folks can't imagine that the Bible knows more than they know. Have you ever met anyone like that, who just cannot believe that they could learn anything from the Bible, or they know everything that the Bible could possibly teach them? We should come humbly to the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Of course, if a person doesn't believe it's the Word of God, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe that the Word of God is his personal word, or that it's a living word, and doesn't believe in the power of the Word of God, that person is at a disadvantage. That person will continue in ignorance. But the Word of God is to be received, and received with meekness. We receive with meekness the implanted Word, or the engrafted Word, or the engraved Word of God. That's the Word that's memorized. The Word that we have hidden in our hearts. You know where David said, "Thy Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The engraved or the memorized Word that becomes a part of our lives. Right here, I just want to stop and encourage each one of us to have a plan of Bible memorization. All of us should be holding the Word of God in our hearts through memory. When I was a child, very early we had a program of learning certain passages of Scripture. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer, or many of us do. But also, I think there are at least three Psalms that we learned as children, I think are very vital to know today. We ought to know the Psalm number 1, Psalm number 23, and Psalm number 100. These are three milestone psalms, and then there are many other passages that are meaningful to us that I think you can have as a memory exercise. So we should place the Word of God in our hearts by memory, and then begin to use that. You'll find that the Holy Spirit will bring to your consciousness certain passages of Scripture as guidance in situations where the Scripture would be helpful. And that happens when we memorize the Word of God. So we receive with meekness, that is an attitude of humility, understanding that we're hearing from God. We receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Such a Word, that implanted Word, that memorized Word, can save your soul. It can save who you really are, whom God has created and given to the world as a gift to the world. It can save your individual being. It can preserve the best of you so that you can be a blessing to the rest of us. And this is a wonderful verse with which we begin this series on our attitude toward the Word. I'm excited about this. I hope you're getting a lot out of this study of the book of James. It is one of the more practical studies in all of Scripture, and it will definitely lead to an increase in our spiritual maturity. If we need anything in the church today, it is a mature body of Christ. Well, this is Pastor Reggie Lawrence, pastor of St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church. I thank you for listening. St. Mark's Institutional Baptist Church is at 655 North Bentlow Street at the corner of Landvale Street. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to come and worship with us this weekend. 11 o'clock Sunday morning is our worship service. And until we get together again, this is Pastor Reggie Lawrence saying, keep looking up. To make me a believer.
Spirit 1400, keeping you in our minds and our hearts. Your inspirational and gospel station.